want to say thank you for making this possible. It's not everywhere that this is possible. Because you have chosen to visit us, we say we are truly privileged and blessed. Thank you for your love. As we come to pray and to begin this service today, I come stripping myself of every confidence I might have in myself, my knowledge, my ability, or my preparation. Nothing matters in that area now. All that matters to me, Lord, is your mercy to be a faithful steward of this word. I am acutely aware that in myself and of myself, I cannot deliver this word, nor can any one of us, including myself, receive it except by your mercies. And so we receive mercy to be a faithful steward, and also for faith to receive this word. As I speak, Lord, let my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. Let me speak by your power of the Spirit through you to speak. Lord, you speak through me to your people, that which is your word, to write your will upon our hearts in the name of Jesus. And wherever this word goes in all the earth, the power of the Spirit will back it up to make men to be hearers and doers of that which they hear and be blessed thereby in the name of Jesus. I also ask you, help me to be concise, help me to be precise, I will not say anything unnecessary. I'll bring forth from the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. As I speak, O Lord God, let your power and your presence fill the air, break every yoke, meet every need, bringing glory to the name of Jesus, a mighty blessing to us as sons of men, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation of your word, our wills more submitted and humble, submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions be controlled and tempered further by the precious fruit of the Lord Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I also ask as I speak, you will help me, Lord God, I humble myself under the anointings of my fathers, and I ask for mercy to be a faithful steward of this word, as I bring forth this word and go forth as a river of life, bringing refreshing to all the hearing, myself included, but especially to them that as they hear and eat and drink of this wine from this vineyard they have planted, they will be satisfied, tremendously satisfied with the travail of their souls. And I thank you, Father, because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. You will not alter the thing that has gone forth out of your mouth. So thank you, Father. Lord Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Hallelujah. While we go to the Word, before we do that, I want to just ASF me in peace as soon as possible. And it'll be sooner than you probably think, anyway. Amen. That's how Jesus is going to come one day. Boom! Everybody's not looking. But our day will not take you unawares in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, how do you get off on that? Okay. In our last study, we are in the book of Acts, as all of us should know. We have been there for some time. We'll be there for quite a while still. As I always say, the book of Acts gets even more and more relevant with each passing day. Some of the things that are in the book of Acts predict, or rather prophesy, concerning the very, very place where we are today in the plan of God. When God is about to download another time of refreshing upon us, like we saw last week when we studied this. We were in Acts chapter 3, and in verses 18, I believe, to 12, or 19 to 21, 22, thereabouts. We saw that, continuing Peter's sermon, we saw that the objective of Peter's sermon, preaching to the Jews in Jerusalem, to get them to repent, to receive the remission of sins, and to become born again, and receive the baptism and infilling of the Holy Spirit. So this was the objective that he had in preaching and telling them so many times about Jesus, whom they killed. Amen? We said it was not only to deliver the Jews from the consequences of what the things they had done, the killing of Jesus and all these things which they did in ignorance, many of them, but many of them also out of willful ignorance. We said it wasn't just to get them to repent, which was very important, because the Bible says God always gives people space to repent, but also, and far more importantly, that the Lord himself might have a people in the earth, a people in whom he could work in and through, a born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit company of people with whom he could begin and continue, rather, the plan of salvation to bring blessing, to bring refreshing to all men, not only to the Jews. Remember, the plan was not just the Jews. It was to the Jews first. We'll talk more about that later. It was to the Jews first. So God's plan was always going to be extended from the Jewish race to the entire whole world. And in order to begin to precipitate the return of the Lord Jesus, who had already ascended to the heavens, he said, whom the heavens must retain or receive until the times of restoration of all things, he had to have a body in the earth. that have the power of the Holy Spirit available to them, through whom they could begin to work and work out the plan of salvation to fill the whole earth with His glory. Amen. We are still in that plan till today. But we are making a big step by the grace of God. An imminent outpouring of the Spirit upon us from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia is going to bring that to conclusion in this day. So we're in a very important period, a Kairos moment indeed. And then also we examine the phrase, I've already used it already, the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And we said that refreshing is actually the prayer that we pray in the Spirit. Amen? We saw that in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. Give me that chapter, that verse. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Where we saw that refreshing actually is praying in the Spirit. It's praying in tongues. Look what it says. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. Next verse. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. The sad thing, however, is that as it was then, so it is now. He said, yet they would not hear. You will hear in Jesus' name. You will also do more than you will do in Jesus' name. So every time we say, every time we pray in the Spirit in tongues, we pray in the Spirit, you know, we grow, we pray, you know, it sounds a bit of a paradox that exerting, laboring in prayer can bring refreshing. But that's exactly what it does. That's why it's God, you see. Amen? Other labor, when you labor physically, you are depleted. When you labor spiritually, you're refreshed. Give the Lord a clap for somebody. Hallelujah. That's why, it's, you know, and once you really understand that that's what it's all about, you will keep on thinking that prayer is terrible labor. It's refreshing, folks. Yes, okay, you know my feeling. But the Bible says the Spirit sustains the infirmities. So when your spirit is strong, when you pray, your spirit is strong, it sustains the infirmities of the physical body, and it brings refresh, it brings rest, and it brings refreshing. Amen? Paul also said the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said that with stammering lips and other tongues, in there it says with tongues of other men, but it's in italics. In other words, it's not included in the original scripture. So if you read it as it ought to be, it says with other tongues, which means this tongue, that's refreshing. Anyway, so we said that this is the time of refreshing. Every time we pray in the Spirit, the time of refreshing, the time of rest. We also saw that like the outpouring of the earnest of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost, which is where we are in Acts now, brought a refreshing by the water of life through the power of the Holy Spirit to first the early church, and then through the early church to the entire world. They went from Judah, from Jerusalem to Judea, from Judea to Samaria, and from Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? All of by that outpouring of the initial Spirit with measure, the earnest of the Spirit. This time, there's an imminent outpouring of the full anointing, the Spirit without measure. Now imagine this. If at that time, that earnest did what it did, which is what we are partaking of today, imagine what will be when the outpouring of the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, the Spirit without measure comes. It's going to be tremendous. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in our message today. It is going to be tremendous. The anointing without measure will magnify the refreshing that it brings to the earth. Amen. Not just the church, but the whole of creation. Delivering the whole of creation, like we all know, from the bondage of sin and death. Then we saw in Acts 20:21 that the Lord shall also send Jesus Christ, whom, the Bible says, the heavens must receive until the times, again, it's a plurality, it's a times of refreshing, and then times of restoration, or restitution, the same thing of all things. And what Apostle Peter was referring to as he was preaching the sermon was the return of the Lord Jesus in earth to restore all things. And we said that just like natural Israel at that time had a part to play in the coming of the Lord to earth the first time, so also we, spiritual Israel, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, hallelujah, in this land where the rivers divide, and we and this house also being a part, have an important first of the first fruits role to play in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for these times of restitution. Amen. One time of restitution has already come. And we said we identified three times of restitution. And that's the restoration of the church of the Lord God by the total removal of sin and the coming to the church of God to the church. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it says, the Lord who seeks to suddenly come to his temple, come to restore all things in his church. Amen? This church that we see is not the church that God is going to use. I was reading some stuff over the week. This church, God is going to do a mighty shaking up, and it's about to start. Amen. We have the privilege as first of the first fruits, as a part of the first of the first. Not only us, other churches like Zion churches that are in the earth, but beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which is where it's going to start, to us first this time. Amen. God will bring that word, and then from us it goes all to the end of the world. Amen. And so, and Lord, we're going to come to the church, restore the church to be a church without spot or blemish or any other thing. Why? So that we can offer an offering made in righteousness, which means that up until that time, when the Lord Jesus comes, the offering of the church was not made in righteousness. Amen. And then, as God's righteousness is restored to church, we disciple the nations, and then we take them away for the great, before the great tribulation comes. Then the second time of restoration is when Jesus comes at the millennial reign, binds up the false prophet and the Antichrist, puts them in the lake of fire, the devil is bound up for 1,000 years, and God restores order to the earth. Amen? Which it was out of order. That's another time of restoration of all things. It's not a full restoration, but a partial restoration. The third and final restoration, which you identify by the Spirit, is when God now comes back he's on the earth. When, after the millennial reign, Satan's released for a while, after 1,000 years, and like I said on that day, I marvel how a person how sin can be bound up for 1,000 years. And then once sin is released, people start sinning again. What was going on in their hearts for 1,000 years? 1,000 years of no Satan on earth. Can you imagine the beautiful things that will be going on? And then he comes back, and other people are lying with him. Shows you how wicked the heart of human beings are. That is not your portion of mine in Jesus' name. So after 1,000 years, Satan's released. He brings rebellion. And that's what he does best. But he and his cause, the Bible says, God will just send down fire from heaven, scrap them off the earth, cast them on a lake of fire. And then he goes back to God who gave him the earth and returns it back to your rightful original owner. Submits his name and all that God has given him back to God the Father. The Bible says so that God can be all in all. Amen. And then God now does the final restoration by burning up all the earth. That is, the heavens will be consumed by fire, creating a new heavens and a new earth wherein, the Bible says, dwells righteousness. And that's the third and final restoration. We concluded by saying that each one of us here as God's children, particularly we here in this house and beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, we have a tremendous privilege to play a very significant part in the restoration of all things in the earth, especially with the first of first fruits. This is our prophetic destiny, and we have to understand, believe in it, and then key into it, partake actively of these times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, that we also be a part of the times of the restoration of all things and partake of our prophetic destiny. We're talking a little bit more about that later. Today, however, we're going to continue the book of Acts. Amen. Are we cold this morning? Nobody's cold. Amen. Let me go to the switch over the air conditioner. Okay, all right. We're all doing good. All right. So we're going to start today from the book of Acts in chapter 3 in verse 22. This is a very interesting area where we're going to be talking and looking at today, talking about looking at. Verse 22. Let's read it together. Are we ready? For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in some things, in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's a heavy word. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of all these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away every one of you from his iniquities. This is a very powerful passage. We're going to try and unravel it and see how far God helps us. So Peter, still speaking, still the same sermon now. In order to buttress all that he's been saying, Peter now refers back to the law of Moses. And why does he do this? Because he understands that the people he's talking to are Jews, and that what they do is based upon the law of Moses. So he uses the law of Moses to buttress the points that he's making. So he's telling them, I'm not speaking anything that you have not heard before. I'm just giving you a real online present truth interpretation of what God is doing. All the things that he's been saying about, he's now trying to buttress it by bringing back the word of Moses to their understanding. And specifically, he was talking about the book of Deuteronomy. Give me this place, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Now, we were talking about this, I think it was last week, or was it yesterday? I'm not sure. The days are blurred into each other now. Anyway, we were talking about the book of Deuteronomy is very important because it actually has to do with speaking the word of God to a new generation of Christians that is about to enter into the promised land. And this is where God now begins to speak to all those Jews whom their fathers had all died in the wilderness, and they were now on the verge of going back into another promised land again. They did not rebel like their fathers at Kadesh Barnea. Amen. And that's what we are. We are the latter house. Amen. Who will enter the land and possess it. We'll talk more about that by the grace of God in our sermon later on. But the essence is, he refers here, let's read it. Said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee. This is Moses speaking now in the book of Deuteronomy. He's talking to the new generation that's about to enter the promised land, camped on the side of the river Jordan, on the east side before they go in. And he's telling them, said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Look at that prophet there, it's capitalized. There's a P there, it's a capitalized P, which means that it's not an earthly prophet. Is a divine prophet. Amen. So he's a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Moses speaking. And unto him ye shall hearken. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Okay, well, okay, give me verse 18. Thank you. Verse 18. Verse 18. Verse 18. Thank you. Yes. 18. According to all. No, I said 18. Okay, let me go and read it myself. Thank you. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put. Now, check this out. He says, first of all, unto me. If you saw the first one, it's verse 15, said, me. That means capitalized. In other words, that prophet is divine. Now, he's not saying, I will raise up among from their brethren, Lord, speaking to Moses now, like unto thee. So, thee and me are one and the same as far as God is concerned, which means that as it was a divine instruction upon Moses to be a prophet unto the people of God, so also the divine instruction of this prophet to be a prophet unto the people that God will raise them up from. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. But the essence here is that there's a prophet that is being raised up for the children of Israel at that time. That prophet was to be the divine template, which we said, for the children of Israel to follow, to copy after, and pattern themselves up unto that. Amen? This is what God is saying here. He says, so he said, a prophet like me, the Lord will raise up for you among, he says, and him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. Peter is declaring here that all the events that happened in Jerusalem up to that time, and all the things that were still to happen had been foretold by the prophets. In other words, all these things you are hearing and seeing, folks, they should not have taken you by surprise. And that's what the prophetic word does. God gives us prophets so that he tells us ahead of time. Thank God for the leading direction of the word of God. Thank God for the word. This word we see here is a marvelous document. And it's something that all of us, we do well to take heed to. The Bible says all scripture. All scripture, whether Moses, whether the prophets, whether the Pentateuch, or whether it's the Gospels, or whether it's the general epistles, all scripture. Everything, the Bible says the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything in this book is prophetic. Hello, somebody. Everything. I don't know how to say this. There is not one jot or one tittle in this book that has not been given by the inspiration of God. And if it's given by the inspiration of God, somewhere along the line, it will be fulfilled. Either in your life, or in mine, or in somebody else's life, whether positive or negative, this word will surely come to pass. That's why we need to read it, folks. Hey, I thought everyone would be shouting amen. after the fact. Well, it's not okay. But the essence is this. The Bible says all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given for us by inspiration of God. And it is, how many of you want to profit? It is profitable. It says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And that's why some don't read it. Or some don't like it. When it's preached, or when you hear a big hard word in the word, you know, you tend to just sidestep it. Just relax a bit, or say, you know, put that one aside. No! There's a reason for the word being there is to reprove you. It's to instruct us, to give us instruction. He says it's for correction, for instruction. In other words, some people will be wrong and the word will come and correct them, like it's doing tonight, or not to this morning. Amen. In righteousness, instruction in righteousness. Why? This is the end point. That the man of God may be perfect. That's the whole plan of this book. To bring every human being on the face of the earth, as that's the plan of God, into perfection and fullness. Amen. That's why we preach the word. That's why the prophets are there. So the prophet gives us a foreknowledge. Tell your neighbor, you have a foreknowledge of what God is planning to do. So you can key into it. And you can fulfill your part of God's plan in his plan for you. Amen. That's it. Amen. What God is planning to do is, and is going to do, he's told you ahead of time. So you can believe it. First of all, you have to hear it. They believe it, that's it, believe his prophets, and then you shall prosper. Amen? So, obviously, Israel didn't believe everything they heard. In spite of the fact that they heard it every single Sabbath. I think we said earlier on sometime that, you know, the reason why this is so is because of a heart issue. Issue of the heart. We're not going to go back there again. But the essence of what I'm trying to bring out here is that this book of the Bible contains the entire plan of God for every human being, every part of his internal creation. God has told us ahead of time, I'm going to do this. So we read the Bible. We identify our part in it. I remember the day Pastor preached that and he said, your life is in the Bible. I said, my life? And I was still a young Christian then, so I was like, how come my life is, does God know my name? Yes, he knows your name, and he's put your name here. Your name is his name. If you're born again, your name is his name. But there's a part for you. Every one of us has a part in God to fulfill. And the essence of God telling us ahead of time so we can identify it, follow through in it, and intelligently cooperate with God to bring and to fulfill it. Every one of us is included in this scripture. It will not say, boy, God, this, you know. But when you're reading the scripture, there are parts of this Bible that will leap out at you. And you wonder why this part is more magnified to you than any other part. I've had this experience over and over and over and over again. In fact, I had it even before I knew I was in the Bible. I was a very young baby Christian when God said, that's for you and your household, you will serve the Lord. I said, eh, okay, all right. It was only until a year later that I discovered it was actually in the book of Joshua. I said, that's what God told me. That's what God told me. Before I even knew it. That's why I have total respect for this word. Particularly the prophets. What am I trying to tell you folks? Every one of us has a part in scripture. It is coded. It is concealed. And much of it is in the prophetic word. Particularly in this season when the prophets themselves are being fulfilled. Give me Revelation chapter 22. Everybody's looking at me funny. Revelation chapter 22 verse 19. Quickly. Revelation 22 19. Look what it says. Let's read it together. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, or this book of prophecy. The whole Bible is a prophecy. Amen. So it's talking about the scripture. God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are what? Written in this book. Your part is written in this book. Not in this book, my own book. In this book, the Bible, your own Bible. And the Bible says it's our life purpose to seek it out. The Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. That matter is you. You matter to him. Amen. And he has so encapsulated you in his word, but it is your honor to seek it out. You find it out. You ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where am I in this word? What do you want me to be? Now, there's a standard basis. As you come to an understanding, you find out that first and foremost, God wants you to be like Christ. But you see, in the coming to be like Christ, there'll be many, many different facets of your life that you'll come into. By the way, I'm an example. You know, I've done several things, you know, in the process of growing up to where we are now. And there's still much more ahead. I remember the day God told me, says, yeah, you are strong and I will overcome the wicked one. Because great is he that dwells in you, that me, strong. Okay. And then he says one day, this very time, he said, you have given the strength of the ox. I said, okay, fine, strength of the ox, fine. All this in Bible. I was reading both prayers. He just said, that's you. Then he told me, he said, pray my kingdom come till it comes. And that's where I am now. I know the next step is, I've already seen that, but I'm waiting for confirmation. So I won't tell you that one. So you're going to tell me, God said to me, when God wants me to know that, he will come and confirm it. Just like he did the others. You just keep it. And each of those words were confirmed by the fathers. One of them was Papa Ralph. So that's how it works, folks. Folks, I'm encouraging us today because, you see, the time is short. There's not any much time left. Thank God you're in a place where, by the grace of God, this prophetic word is being preached constantly. And thank God, God is revealing more and more and more of our prophetic destiny to us in the word. And the essence is not just to hear, but to believe it, and then to key in, and to obey it, and fulfill it. Tell you fulfill your word, the word of the prophets concerning you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. All right. And as you have come to pass, if you're not going there. Now, yeah. Let's continue. So, back in Acts chapter 3, verse 25 now. 25 says, ye are the children of the prophets. Oh, glory to God. This is great. Apostle Peter reminds the Jews of Jerusalem that they are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with their patriarchs through Abraham. Amen. Abraham, the father of faith. Says, you are the children. What does that really mean, the children of the prophets? Give me this in NIV. Let's see what it says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we all together this morning? Amen. I'm going to speak the prophetic word. People get a little bit silent. Don't worry. You're in good shape. God is having mercy on you. If you're a member of this church and you're in this house, you're listening to these words that you know have been preached here over the years. You're on the path of fulfilling your prophetic destiny as you do the word. Only the doers are blessed. It's not just hearing, it's doing. Look what it says. This is NIV of the what I was asking the question, what does it mean to be the children of the prophets? This is what it said. So that you are heirs of the prophets and heirs of the covenant that God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on the earth will be blessed. Now, this is the NIV translation. In the actual translation, in the KJV, it says, and in thee and thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. What is he saying? He's referring here to the promise that God made to Abraham that in his seed, the entire nations of the earth were going to be blessed. Now, we understand by revelation through Apostle Paul that he's not talking about every person who came out from the lineage of Abraham. Amen? We said, in Isaac shall thy seed call. The Bible says, Book of Romans says, not all Israel is Israel. Said, but in thy seed and in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And by revelation, this is why revelation is so important. This is why you have to have a revelation by of the prophetic word. Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Go there. Apostle chapter 3, verse 16, Galatians. Apostle Paul in Galatians identifies by revelation this seed. And look what he says. He says, now to Abraham and his seed. Now when you think seed, you think of the whole of the house of Abraham. Amen. Jacob and all his 12 family. No. He said, not as to seeds. This is revelational. This is finally dividing, rightly dividing the word of God in a fine way. He says, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. So the seed he's talking here about here in Acts chapter 2, verse 25, is not all the seed of Abraham. There are billions of them all throughout the world. Amen. But he's talking to the ones that emanate from the Lord Jesus Christ as a seed of Abraham. Amen? And that comes to us also because by extrapolation, we also, who are born again, who are Christ, are also the seed of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 39. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Give me that. Let's read. Yes. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. And what? Heirs. According to the promise. What promise? The promise that God made to Abraham that in the whole earth was going to be blessed by his seed. So the essence is this. there's a seed that comes out of Abraham who inherits these promises, and then because we believe in that seed, we get born again, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to walk in the exact same promise given to the seed, which is Christ, because we now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we're Abraham's seed. That's what he was telling the people in Jerusalem at that time. So everything you're doing has been foretold. You are the heirs of the covenants of God given to Abraham. You are the heirs of the covenant, of the word of the prophet's word that's been spoken all these years. Your time of fulfillment has come. Amen. And guess what? The same thing is going to take place now also. Again, we also. We are the first of the first fruits of the seed through which the whole earth is going to be blessed. Amen. In this day. Because we are born again. We are Christ's seed. All the promises of Abraham are going to be channeled by God's mercy through us into all the earth. Amen? We're going to preach. We're going to demonstrate the power, the signs and the wonders of the full gospel of the kingdom by the power of the word as Abraham's seed. Amen? We're going to also demonstrate that power to break the nations, removing the strayed children from the church, to break the rod, to rule the nations, and in particular, first of all, the church, by the rod of strength out of Zion, the prayer, the power of prayer, to rule the nations, and then disciple. It's not just evangelism. We need to disciple also. That means we teach them to perfect the love of God. Amen? And we, by the grace of God, as we all know, should know, are the first of the first fruits from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. We have this privilege. And guess what, folks? Our children will also inherit the same thing. So even after you have done whatever you can do, there are places you cannot go that your children will go. That's why God made the glory of the latter house. You see, we will do our own part by the grace of God. But it's not where these bones can go. Thank God for it. We'll be like Caleb and Joshua. We'll inherit, you know, and we'll go far places. But there are places that the children that God gives us will go that we will not be able to get to. And so the same seed, the same unction that is upon us. There's a scripture that just flowed into my mind. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his grandchildren, for his children's children. That's the inheritance. You leave that inheritance of the Spirit without measure. Each one of us, you have the responsibility. We have the responsibility to train up our children. The Bible says, train up in the way should, when they are old, they will not depart from it. You train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that when, when they grow up, the mantle that is upon you will fall upon them. And then they too will now go out and demonstrate the manifold signs and wonders and be a blessing. Your seed will be a blessing to all nations in Jesus' name. That's it. By the Spirit without measure. First of all, by the anointing borrowed, and then also we inherit our anointing. And when we inherit it, folks, we pass it to our children. Glory to God. I know that doesn't excite you, but what it means is that, you know, when you now get to heaven on that day, I don't know why I'm saying all this. Maybe some people need to be encouraged. I know what I'm saying. I'll explain it later. When you get to heaven, your generation is behind you. And you say, what church? Of course, they know you. And you say, well, I was one of those from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. I began as the first of the first fruits, but see all my fruits behind me. Each one of them also walking the same anointing. Well, I'm looking forward to that day. Up unto the third generation. And all of them are under the anointing. Maybe they borrow the anointing from you first. And then after a while, they too come at your head. But they'll be behind you. And all of them are perfection, full of the power of God and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you. That excites me. That excites me. Okay. All right. So, let's go. Verse 25, we said yes. And then it says, yeah, the children of the covenants. And it says, the Lord Jesus. Peter now says, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews first. Says, unto you, verse 26, unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. He says here that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews first, to turn away from sin. The Jews were first to receive the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, says to the Jews first. It says in the book of Acts chapter 16, says this word was first of all sent to you. You know, let's read it. I don't want to misquote it. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Give me that quickly. Acts 13, 26. Are we together? Acts 13, 26. It says, men and brethren, children of Abraham, And whosoever among, I love this. Look, I didn't see this before. It says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and whosoever among you feareth God. This is God saying, it ain't for you only, Jews. But it's to you first. He says, the children of the stock of Abraham, those are the Jews. And he says, and, which means apart from you Jews, glory to God. This is God's plan from day one. It wasn't just for the, it was just the Jews first. And whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation said. That's scripture. But it had to go to the Jews first because of God's covenant with the fathers. So they got the gospel first. That's why it says to Jew first. But if there's a first, there's a second. If there's a second, there's a third. If there's a third, there's a 100, a 500. You know, all the tribes of the earth. Whosoever among them that feareth God is the word of this salvation sent. So the Jews got it first. Now we, the sons of Ham, thank God for the sons of Ham, we receive the word last. Amen. If there's a first, there must be a last. That's the first and the last. But we're not worried. Because you see, the Bible says, in this day, glory to God, that there are those who are last shall be first. Give the Lord a clap of it. You are destined to be first to finish the race. The race to be perfected, to manifest the power of the God like never before on the earth. The full anointing, the full measure of the Spirit that has been reserved for you who are last to now be first. Oh, glory to God. And it says many, not all of them. It says many that were first shall be last. So even be first does not necessarily mean that you finish the race. Huh. I would rather be last and then become first. Guaranteed. Than be first and then think I've got it all. That, remember that parable of the those who are sent to the field? The guys who began early in the morning, they said, bore the brunt of the whole day. They did all this. On a chocolate. They thought they had made it. They thought that they were going to get a bigger reward. God gave the same reward to those who came in at the last minute. 1 hour. But see, they came in with revelation. They came in to inherit all the prophetic words that God had been speaking. They came with an understanding of the times and the seasons, what they did. They believed their prophets and they prospered. In 1 hour, the last hour. And they came in and they took over. For those that have been sitting in the sun all these days thinking that they were okay. The Jews heard the prophets, they didn't believe. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But the essence is, we're going to finish first in perfection. We're going to finish first and manifest the anointing without measure, the fullness of Christ. Hello, somebody. Because we are Jews. Everyone, we are Jews. How many of you know we are Jews? Everybody here is a Jew. Tell anybody, you know you are a Jew? All sons of Abraham are Jews. So you are a Jew. You must be a Jew. Hello, Jews. Hello. Sons of Jews, sons of Judah, sons of praise. Hello. Now, you people here, wake up. Sons of Judah, sons of praise, to bring praise to God in the earth. You are a Jew. Tell everybody you are a Jew. Hey, okay, all right. You are not born in Jerusalem. You are not a JP, Jewish pilgrim. No, you're a Jew. Give me, where's that part? Romans, where is it? Give me that book in Romans. Where it says in Romans chapter 2, I believe, 2:29. Look what it says. Romans 2:29. We've been here. Says, look what is it? This is how you're a Jew. Says, but he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. You see, God has redefined everything. It was never about, the outward part. It was always about what's going on the inside. Natural Israel still exists. God has not done away with natural Israel. What he has done, like it says in the book of Romans, says he has grafted us in. Amen. Says the first fruits be holy, the whole lump is holy too. So God has grafted us in. We who were a wild olive plant, God has grafted us into the fatness of the stock of Israel, so that we are no more distinguished from them because we drink from the same sap. We eat from the same vine. We are part of the branches of the same vine. So just like those in Jerusalem are Jews, We also are Jews, and perhaps even more so. Because God does not look on the outward man, but on the inward man. Look what he says. He said, he's a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Whose praise is not of man, but of God. If you have praise from God, you're a Jew. Amen. That's why God should always be your focus. Believe his prophets. Receive praise and affirmation from God. God says, I am the original Jew. These are my children. Oh, what a great privilege. You see, God has made it so simple and so easy. So you can tell any person who says an Israeli, say, me too, I'm an Israeli. Israel is a wonderful, blessed race. You know, it's amazing to me, and I want to close there because time's gone. We'll leave it here for today. We'll take it up later on. Amen? The Jews are a wonderful race. You know, I lived in New York for some time. They call New York City, well, I won't say what they call it because it's supposed to be a derogatory term, but a lot of Jews live in New York City. And they live in New York. In fact, let me just say they own New York City. New York is the richest city on the face of the earth. The richest, by far. And it all belongs to Jews. Everything. If you go, and it's the same all over America, all over the world. The other day I was watching CNN. I saw one guy there. He had just invented something. I can't remember what it was, but it was an invention. Because I was listening, and I was reading the byline. I had to shut it off. I was trying to do some meditation, and I was just looking at the byline, and I saw this guy had he had entered a brand new sphere of technology that nobody else had been there before. And they said that this technology is going to, earn over the next 10 years X billion, hundreds of billions of dollars. And the first guy that was there was a Jew. I said, Abraham. This is Abraham's blessing. There's no way that thing can happen. Why was it not to me? Abraham is coming. Your own is coming too. But isn't that thing that, why was it, and his name was Weiss or something like that. This man is a Jew. There's no doubt of it. His name has identified it. And it's like that all over the world. Any sphere of influence, whatever it is, could be, technology, movies, everything, the people at the front are Jews. It's not by accident. It's a mighty design of God. And look at the state of Israel. It's a marvel. 3 million people in the middle of 100-something million Arabs. And it's still there. Can't wait. They can't touch them. That's the God who has called you his Jews. That's the God who will serve. That's the God who has called you to be a part of it. To drink of the fatness of the stock of Israel. As a son of Abraham. Amen. Hallelujah. Those covenants are real. Those blessings are real. Amen. And says, God has sent the Lord Jesus to you and I through this message that he was preaching, talking to the people in Jerusalem, but also by prophetic understanding, talking to us all the way down the line, to turn us away from iniquity to righteousness, to hear and to heed this call. Amen. The Jews heard all the words of the prophets, but they still walked in unrighteousness. You will not do that in Jesus' name. Amen. But the point of this is that as they were, we could also be a Jew who received first God's word and still remain in unrighteousness because of our hearts. Now, that will not be our portion. Your nature does not change because you hear the word of God. Your nature changes because you hear the word of God and do what that word says. You must mix, like the Bible says, you must mix faith with the word before it has an effect. That's why all those who are hearing this, wherever you are, you need to understand that you cannot just become like Christ just by hearing the word. You can hear the word here. The Bible says these people, they worship their mouth, but their heart is far. You have to engage your heart in doing the word of the Lord God. And then you come into the perfection, the fullness of Christ, and then you prosper as a Jew. First of all, spiritually, as your soul prospers, you now begin to prosper physically, financially, materially, all these other areas. And then from you will arise a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Because you hearken diligently and obey the love of the word of God, perfect the love of God by the blood, the word, and the spirit. That's what Jews do. Save the whole earth. That's what Jews do. Save the whole earth in thee, And in thy seed, the Bible said, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's why God sent Jesus. And I said, we are his and he is ours. That we may bless all the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, somebody. Let's speak to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I trust we've been able to conclude, but we'll conclude this chapter now. But the essence of what we said today is very important by the grace of God. He says, you are children of the prophets. You are heirs. We, you and I, we are heirs of all that the prophets have said. What does that mean? The inheritance of all that is contained in this book of prophecy belongs to you and I. That's all God is waiting for, people to download these blessings that he's been speaking for centuries. He's just looking for people to fulfill his word. Oh, glory to God. And guess what? In me, he will find one such person. I don't know if you want to say that about yourself. Make up your mind, folks. God's word has gone forth. It will not return void. And it will not return void in my life. And it should not return void in your lives as you make a distinction between yourselves and others by keying into these prophetic promises, finding out what it is God wants from you as a person, individually now. Search it out. Your life is hidden in Christ, in God. Find out what it is. God, show me. Where am I in this book? He has never ever refused that kind of prayer. And so you're not walking in the dark. You're walking certainly. You know that you know that you know. You're smack in the will of God. Smack in the will of God. I can say that without any shadow of doubt. What I'm doing today is what I've been ordained to. And Jesus said, for this purpose was I born. I should bear witness of the truth. You have the same anointing upon you and the same purpose to bear the witness of the truth of the word of God and be a blessing to all nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will be a shining light to the nations. A shining light to till the world would see the glory of the Lord. May your pure light shine to us. May we be a shining light to the nations. A shining light to the people of the earth. respond to the word that has come this morning, this word concerning our prophetic destiny as a people from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, who are inheritors of all these prophetic words that have been spoken since before we were ever born, through the prophets. We raise a hand to the Lord and put a hand upon our hearts. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. It has come to remind me that I am an heir of all the prophetic words and the covenant which you made of old with our father Abraham. I understand that I am not only here and beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, put here by God for such a time as this, but I am also to fulfill these prophetic words that have been spoken by you through the prophets to the children of Abraham. I understand that I am a Jew, Lord, for I am a Jew inwardly and not outwardly. And so I am an inheritor of all these promises you made with the fathers of old. So Lord, help me to hear with a heart of understanding. Give me revelation, light and understanding concerning my purpose in this world, concerning the perfection and the fullness of Christ. And as I hear, I will believe. And because I believe, I will do. I mix faith with the word that I prosper in all I do and inherit all these promises in your word, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for helping me, Lord, to perfect this love of God. Lord, has revealed to me now. And Lord God, I understand that my purpose and destiny in life is hidden in this word. Help me find it. Help me fulfill it. Fulfill even more of your prophetic word concerning me that is written in the word. So I'll be a blessing to all the kingdoms of the earth, a light to the nations, a healing balm. I bring the word of life. I bring life and health and healing to the nations as I spring forth in this day, in this land where the rivers divide, and beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. I thank you for this day of greatness through abundant grace. And the mighty works that you wrought in me and through me by this anointing without measure and a covenant. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In my life, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven. Jesus. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Rizipalakashakorukodea. Reseparamokesekatu. Manibal shekendalamorobitekara. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.